The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
Opening day is just days away, but some bad news for the Diamondbacks.
Things aren't great, Steve. Things aren't great again.
I'm Steve Zinsmeister. That's Derek Montilla, and Cody Fincher is with us as well here on the Ain't No Fang podcast. And boys, let's start here. He's clearly the best pitcher in the Arizona Diamondbacks organization, and Zach Gallen goes down with an injury. Looks like, according to John Gambadoro, 4 to 6 weeks that we're going to be without Zach Gallen at least. But is it as big of a deal because we knew he was going to be on an innings limit to begin with?
Is it ever a good thing when you're happy that it's a hairline fracture of his forearm and not
that's about the
worse?
Only positive thing from this that I can think of. Like, at least it's not a torn UCL or Tommy John surgery.
It could have been
because
worse.
The original reports coming out was forearm tightness, but it was forearm tightness only when he was batting.
And throwing his curveball.
Right. So those are the only two times when he was experiencing discomfort. But the minute that you hear forearm tightness for a pitcher, it's never good.
We all know what that means. Time for Tommy John. You're going to miss a year.
Correct. And luckily, in this case, it was a hairline fracture. So, hey, that's a good thing. Yay! Hairline fracture.
I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's better than the alternative.
Okay.
I don't think those two things are good. It's not a good thing. He's not pitching.
He's not going to be pitching for four to six weeks.
Pitching for at least 4 to 6 weeks. We really don't know what the time frame is. Yeah. Lavella wouldn't set one.
Yeah.
From our understanding, he can still throw or play catch. We were debating what that meant, whether that meant, obviously playing catch means throwing some, but it doesn't mean pitching. He will not be pitching at least for the next month, and they will assess his injury from that point. I think the thought process here is that he can possibly have it kind of, you know, heal a bit and take some time off and get back to throwing or get back on a throwing schedule. It definitely means, though, that we will not be seeing him after the 4 weeks because he will need to ramp back up to being a starting pitcher again, which will mean he'll need to, you know, get his pitch count back up before he can be the good old Zach Gallen that we know and love.
I need to get something off my chest here.
Please hear it.
He got hurt while batting in batting practice.
Correct.
That's the understanding.
This is why we need the universal DH.
You should see him. He's banging his fists on the counter and the whole thing. Listen
this
to that.
This is why.
Wow. That can't be good for us.
And Zach Gallen said it himself in his Zoom meeting talking about his injury. He's an advocate for the DH. He said, this is a quote from him, "I get paid to pitch."
I feel kind of
end
guilty.
End quote.
You're making me feel guilty.
You, old man, who doesn't want the DH.
Now he's pointing
this
his
is why. This is why we need this. And
this
I don't understand why it's not back this year. And it's just some bargaining chip for extra playoffs and more money, blah, 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 blah. It's so dumb.
That's something that you make a great point about because they did change the rules of spring training itself for the purpose of saving some of the pitching arms. That's the reason why we saw the adaptability with the innings and deciding how long games were going to be, just so that they didn't have to have as many relief pitchers go out there as often during spring training and spend themselves when last year was such an off year. Basically, they didn't want anybody to ramp up too fast, and they wanted to allow the teams to, you know, kind of slowly get into the season, considering that spring games don't matter, right? I've seen some weird stuff happen, including the other night Merrill Kelly was pulled from a game.
Yeah.
Then he came back in as a pinch hitter.
And then he came back in, faced one batter, and took him out.
Dude, the rules don't matter anymore.
None of it matters.
None of it matters.
Throw it out the window, right?
Spring training is becoming a joke.
The only rule they have now in spring training at this point is now they can't roll the innings when they just like, we're done with this inning.
Yeah, that's over.
They
now
can't do that anymore.
Right, I think that was
and they're
just
playing a full 9-inning game.
Right, that was the first half of March was that kind of thing. But the point is if they're putting those kind of rules into place, then you would think that something like the universal DH would stick around at least for one more season.
I think it's coming back. They have a collective bargaining agreement negotiation coming up after this season. It's hard for me to believe that the universal DH won't be a thing after they negotiate a new CBA. I guess it all depends on expanded playoffs still, but I can't see, especially not that the Diamondbacks are going to hold so much weight. Like, look what happened to Zach Gallen.
Sure.
He got hurt swinging the bat. We need a DH. And I'm like, if this happened in a bigger market, maybe with a more high profile player, but I don't know. It's just like, why is this happening?
Well, I think
these pitchers don't even, most of the time, except for Madison Bumgarner, who I guarantee wants to hit the baseball.
Yeah.
Pitchers.
Kelly was dying to hit the baseball too. Like, he's having fun out there.
I feel like,
but nobody pays to go see those
guys.
And I feel like
the majority of pitchers now don't even want to bat at all because and look how bad they are at batting. They don't focus on it at all. They have to take this ceremonial or formal BP just because, hey, we're gonna have to get in there every 5 days eventually.
Well, it depends on how serious some of them take it, right? Because we have historically had good hitting pitchers on this particular team. Let's not talk about the Zach the Rake Greinke, right?
But what was his batting average?
I don't know. It was like 167.
Uh-huh.
But still,
well, we all know he cares more about stealing bases than throwing a no hitter. So
again,
hitting a home run than throwing a no hitter.
I hate to throw back to this same game, but Kelly had as many hits in the same night as or more hits than I think 75% of the team that was having at bats that night. So it's not to say that they don't have their, you know, their ability to hit, and the Diamondbacks have good hitters. I'm with you, though. Stop rolling your eyes at me, Bear. I'm with you. The DH needs to happen.
Wow, we got Derek behind this.
Well, no, I think I said it last season, too. It wasn't something that I fought against. I thought it was something that, you know, hey, if it's here, why not just keep it? I never understood the idea, even last season, of going back to not having the DH. You know what I mean?
I'm glad to see, as you've become another year older, you're growing more wiser.
We're watching you mature before.
By the way, happy birthday,
Derek. I hate both of you so much. And I'm just going to say that I'm now against the DH, and I think pitchers should continue to hit.
That's how easy
now,
this
back
is.
On that train, you say that, but it could happen at any point. Pitching is way more hazardous to a pitcher's health than a batting.
But at least they're getting hurt doing what they're supposed to do, what they're paid to
baseball do. Baseball is a team sport, Bear. They are paid to play baseball, and that involves getting out there and hitting the baseball.
But what I don't understand, well, it's been like this forever, and that's no excuse for anything, but why then is the American League different from the National League?
That makes no sense, especially when now they play an interleague play and they're going to match up in the World Series.
Before, it almost kind of made sense because American League teams almost never played National League teams. It was like a treat when the Diamondbacks would play the Los Angeles Angels.
And
you know,
usually it only
like
happened
that.
In spring
and it
training.
Was like two game series, maybe in the middle of June.
Yeah.
And they used to have slotted times of the season where they had interleague play.
Right.
I remember that.
It was celebrated.
Right.
Well, because it didn't happen prior to that. There wasn't an interleague play.
But now it makes zero sense for there to be like, oh, we're on this planet and you're on this planet and these are our rules and these are your rules.
Yeah.
If the NFL had an idea for a way to get an extra, like they could almost guarantee there will be one, if not two more touchdown passes for every single game. Like, if we implement this rule, there will be more scoring. Wouldn't they do it? You would do that, right? Because that's what people are there for. That's what people pay to see.
You think,
in
but
baseball, it's the same thing.
Implement NFL Blitz rules from the NFL Blitz video
game.
Okay,
well, that's not my point, though. My point is simple. People pay to either watch on TV or to go and witness in front of their own eyes offense.
Right.
In every sport.
Sure.
It's the slap shot.
Uh-huh.
It's the three-pointer. It's the dunk. It's the touchdown.
Did you not hear me? Make the field 40 yards and 20 yards skinnier, and you'll
make all the ballparks Yankee Stadium.
That's
with 314 down the line.
Yeah. I'm not soliciting for ideas.
I want 273 in the left corner of every field.
But your point is valid, but then I would say, you'd think they would, okay, let's get more scoring in there. But then we have reports of them now deadening the baseball
right.
to reduce home runs.
That was the first thing I heard in but the press box.
But to balance that out, let's put another hitter in there so maybe we'll get more chance at offense now that we're deadening the baseball.
Nick Ahmed hit a ball to center field, and the first thing I heard once it was caught was, that would have gone for a home run with the old ball. And I don't know who said it, but yeah. it was uttered in the press
box. The last game, spring training game, I worked on the radio side, there were a few hard hit balls. It was the night game a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
And it was windy, and it had been raining
sure,
that day.
Sure.
But there are so many times where Greg Schulte and Tom Canio, he's like, it's got to be the baseball.
It's got to be the ball. Right there.
That's been a home run for a couple years.
Yeah, there's some that you just look at and you know. You don't even need to watch it go, but then it gets caught and you're just kind of like, huh.
Zach Gallen's injury could be good news for somebody like Taylor Clark, who might end up making the rotation out of spring because of this.
Yeah, I've heard, and John Gambador on Burns and Gambo say it's likely going to be an in-house replacement, and that doesn't surprise
me at all.
Clark
makes the most sense.
Clark, he even mentioned Alex Young. Alex Young has had a terrible spring.
Yeah.
He's been awful.
Is he stretched out?
I don't think so.
No, he's only
thrown 8 innings this spring.
Taylor Clark.
Last time I checked,
Taylor Clark's being stretched out.
Clark is actually, and Alex Young. He's not even made an actual official start.
Right.
Taylor Clark has been starting.
Yeah. Well, he has one start. He only has one start.
Alex Young or Taylor Clark?
Taylor Clark.
Oh.
In spring training.
But he's been pitching four innings at a time
or so.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he has 12 innings pitched so far this spring in his
stretched
in his
out.
Four games. So he has three games that he played as a relief pitcher and then one as a starter. But yeah, he looked great. I think he gave up in the game that I watched 2 hits in 4 innings. Single and a triple that should have been caught in the outfield, but Dalton Varsho kind of blundered it out there.
On top of that, we have now Tyler Clippard, who was just signed weeks ago to be a veteran staple at the back end of this bullpen. Tyler Clippard is going to be shut down for what we think will be likely about 6 weeks.
Things aren't great, Steve.
What do you do in the back end of the bullpen now?
Well, Joe Mantiply has been just excellent.
How many innings?
Joe Mantiply in spring innings has 6.2 innings.
Yeah, it's not big enough for me to care.
It's 7 games, hasn't given up a run.
It's good. It's better than the alternative. It's
4
6
hits.
Innings.
Now, do they bring up J.B. Bukauskas?
I think that's a definite
Who they just
option.
Sent down
Who they just
last
sent
week?
Down, yeah, last week.
I think that's more of, and you and I discussed this offline, but like that's more of when they want to start his official time mm-hmm. on his contract and such. I don't think that there's a better time than the present. I think he was locked in. I think he would be thrilled to come back at this point. And I don't see anybody this spring that made a bigger, you know, impact relief pitching wise than him, at least surprisingly. I think Mantiply is probably the only other person I can think of that kind of, you know, didn't have a great season last year, but has come into spring this year looking outstanding.
So a lot of injuries when it comes to pitching that we still kind of have to worry about. One that is kind of on the up and up is Cole Calhoun. The Diamondbacks tweeted a video of him taking batting practice.
Taking some rips.
So he's on his way back.
Yeah.
I don't know if opening day is in the picture for him, but it looks like there will be a significant role in the short term for Tim LeCastro.
Opening day is less than a week away, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... about a week away.
We're single-digit days now, I think.
Today is the 25th.
I know their
breakout
last
technology.
I know their last
7 days, a week away?
Yeah.
I think?
Right.
Yep.
Something like that.
1 week, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's...
Good job, everybody. We did it.
We can do math.
But come to this podcast for the math and the you know weekly calculations.
For us to ask questions we don't know the answer to, it sounds really
come
great.
For the math, stay for the charm.
But Cole Calhoun, I don't think opening day was ever an option for him anyway. When he met the media after he got hurt, he said that he'd like to be back before May, the middle of April. He was hopefully aiming towards, and seeing him out on the field taking BP was a good sign of that, I think.
Very encouraging.
But yeah, I agree with you. I think I've kind of cooled on my Trace Thompson is a starting outfielder on
this
team now.
Imagine that.
That's White Sox legend Trace Thompson.
Who leads the D-backs in strikeouts in spring training this year. I still think he'll make the team just because of depth and injuries,
which would be good for him.
Sure, yeah.
I think he definitely will.
And he can play every outfield spot, so that's good to have someone like that. But I think I agree with you what you said. I think Tim LaCastro will be your starting right fielder come opening day. I think he will be. And Derek likes how he gets hit by baseballs all the time. He gets on base. Oh. He's fast.
Yeah, he gets hit wherever he's at on the field.
Fielder.
He's going to get hit by a ball.
I think just since he's been back from COVID after he tested positive, he's pretty much been playing in right field. So I think that's where Lovello's going to go.
And offensively, he's been doing really well. In 7 games since coming back on March 13th, he's hitting .368 with 3 doubles, a triple, a walk, and 2 stolen bases. So, you know, Timmy's out there doing his thing. LaCastro is one of those guys that he adds something special to a team, and I would not be surprised to see him on the opening day roster. One thing that they haven't really had is anybody show up in the outfield in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even just attacking Varsho earlier. I mean, that play I was referencing, that triple that Clark gave up, was a really difficult play. He would have had to make a spectacular kind of at-the-wall play, but it's still the kind of play that we are used to seeing at times. Guys like A.J. Pollock in center field make, and even David Peralta.
He who must
such.
Not be named.
Oh, I apologize.
A.J. Pollock.
But they really haven't had anybody step up, at least in a role in the outfield, Trace Thompson, Varsho, or LaCastro, that really has wowed anybody defensively. I think that, or even Ketel Marte, he was making some bad plays in the outfield in the game against the Indians. So
yeah, he kicked the ball around. He allowed the Incredible Hulk, Franmil Reyes, to get to third. That dude is enormous.
Didn't make any sense.
I didn't see the play. I was doing another thing while I was working. I was watching the game while I was working, and I missed the whole play except for Marte kicking it around. And then I saw his next at bat, him standing in the batter's box. I'm like, holy crap, this guy is. How is he that large? Anyway,
it's like DK Metcalf. Like, they're not human.
Right.
They're monsters.
Speaking of Varsho, though, he gets sent down this week.
That's a surprise.
He will be, I think they sent him down to Reno, which doesn't exist for a month, so I still don't know how that works. But he could easily be back up at any time. I think we all kind of expect that. He's already been at the major league level, so we expect he will have a role at some point. But that surprised me a little bit because I thought maybe they wanted to get him some reps in the outfield.
I believe we've talked about this because I asked Lovello about it, but in case we haven't, Lovello basically said that they're going to be working at like an alternate site, playing each other, doing whatever they can to continue getting these guys playing time. So
when you get sent to Reno right now, that means really you're at the alternate site?
You're at Salt River Fields is where you're going to be. That's what that means.
Because there is no Reno season for another month.
Right. So they'll be playing sim games. They'll be playing B games. They'll be playing any non-official spring training games. They can participate in all of that. So they're still technically in camp and can do other things.
It's like an extended spring training.
Because there's guys getting sent down to quote-unquote Reno, and then there's the minor league camp where they're sent. So I'm guessing those players are playing each other on the backfields or something.
Right.
So
now, on one hand,
they're not just sitting there not playing.
You do have the fact that they're under the umbrella of the Diamondbacks more so here than they would be if they were actually sent down to their team, their minor league team, wherever it's at, right?
Good point.
They get the tutelage of the coaching staff. They get Lovello to be able to see the stuff that they're doing, especially if they're impressing. Lovello can like walk over.
Is he going to be going back and forth during the season?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be mostly like, you know, his staff reporting back.
As of right now, the way it goes is he can go watch the B game.
Right.
And then, or have his bench coach watch the B game while he's in surprise while they're playing somebody, you know?
Gotcha. And he does do that, and he does go over to the B game when he can for a period of time and then leaves if he has a
Madison Bumgarner has thrown a couple B games, I think.
Interesting thing. Bumgarner is doing a very Zach Greinke-like transition, and we talked about it, but he's doing these things to kind of change his game up completely.
Yeah,
he talked a lot about learning from Cueto in San Francisco.
He's gonna start shimmying.
Well, he's not gonna start shimmying. He actually specifically said he will not start shimmying.
Dang it.
But what he's learning to do is just be more surprising, be more unpredictable.
Quick pitch.
Quick pitch. Not
throw,
just quick
throw
pitch.
Throw timing off.
Throw his timing off of his batters and doing things like that. Basically trying to, you know, use...
Be kind unpredictable.
Of a, that's
be,
and that's
use
good.
Use a cerebral game against the hitters instead of just okay. trying to overpower
and
them like he has in the past.
I think that's good because he's lost velocity.
Well, and his, he was never the most powerful
sure,
pitcher anyway,
yeah.
right? So a lot of his game was based on, you know, his accuracy and other factors in his pitching arsenal other than the fastball.
But now he's learning how to outsmart hitters.
Sure.
Instead of just, I'm going to throw this by you and you're going to miss it.
Well, I don't even think it's about learning to outsmart. I would say he's been doing that for a while.
Right.
I mean, this
it's
is a guy
getting better at it.
This is a guy who has multiple rings and he has them because of him.
This you is a guy who refused to even address the things he was working on with the media because he literally takes this as like a, you know, as a tactical
right.
thing.
Why would I tell the other
Why
team what I'm working on?
Why would I tell the other
on?
Team
yeah.
what I'm doing, right?
Right?
So that they can start expecting it. Obviously, video's going to come out. They're going to start studying it once they start seeing me in major league games. But for right now, let's keep it on the DL is his whole kind of attitude.
That's what always cracks me up about when radio shows interview coaches or GMs and mm-hmm. after a game, like let's say after an NFL game and on Monday morning and say, oh, you guys didn't really run the ball a lot. Do you need to run the ball more in the next game? And they're like, yeah, we really need to give our give the ball to the
yeah,
running
well,
back more often.
We're
That's our
run
plan.
It, we're going to run it 32 times.
Yeah,
it's 32 like they're not going
to
tell you specifics.
32 to 35 is what we were looking for.
Right.
I will say this. For somebody that doesn't like the media, I have to give a lot of credit to the core guys of Steve Gilbert, Nick Pecoro, and Zach Buchanan because he seems to really have warmed up to them in a way that, like, he was his typical self at the beginning of the season. We haven't talked to him much, like historically in his time here with the Diamondbacks. And he especially doesn't seem to like the Zoom meetings at all with all the faces, you know.
Well, technology,
in right?
Yeah.
He probably has a flip phone still.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he does.
He's a cowboy. You got to remember,
yeah. Allegedly.
He doesn't
so if
do
you
Zoom.
So if you had asked that, what you're saying is if you had asked him that question, he probably wouldn't have answered.
No,
it.
I know.
And
I mean,
he's answering Nick
just,
and Steve and Zach.
I just mean in general, they get him to be more talkative because they, you know, those guys. I love being around them. They are very. Funny, they have a good time doing what they're doing. They have a good time with Torrey, you know, and they have a good time with a lot of the players. It's hard to get someone like that to warm up to the media because he tends to kind of have a standoffish, you know, just
yeah.
point of view with the media. And I get it. I don't even think it's that. It's more of what I was talking about earlier. I think he doesn't like talking because he doesn't like giving up his game plan. He doesn't like going out there and saying, like, after a bad appearance, what he's going to change to try to do better the next game because he would rather keep that close to his best.
Something Torrey said this week that was maybe a little bit surprising is with Cattell being in center field more often, I think we're all kind of behind that idea now, and we anticipate he will play a lot more center than second.
We have no choice now.
Right. So Torrey said something regarding Josh Rojas that he might not be considered the starting second baseman, but he might be more considered the backup shortstop. And I do expect that Rojas will get some looks at second base. So, Bear, my question to you, what happens, what are we going to see most often at second base?
I don't know.
Thank you, Bear. Derek.
That's so hard. It's so hard to say. Well, there's so many guys that have positional flexibility. I do think we're going to see Rojas a lot at second base.
Okay.
But I also think, and I think Derek's going to go here too, we're going to see a lot of Asdrubal Cabrera, I think, play second base, and obviously he's played some first base and third this spring. He's swinging a really hot bat this spring. He hit a big home run last night, and he's a switch hitter. They like that. So they have, like, what, three switch hitters on this team? Cattell, Asdrubal, and Escobar. They're all switch hitters. Yes, three.
There you go.
So I think we're going to see kind of a rotation at second base depending on matchups, whatnot, especially because Rojas is a left-handed hitter. You'll probably see him not face a lot of lefties. And then I also think what you were talking about before we started, I think we'll see some Escobar at second base too and get Cabrera some time at third base and all. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a rotation on the infield. Pretty much the only guys you're going to see every day is Ahmed at short and Walker at first. Well, that's what I think.
And I don't even know that. I think that a Cabrera, once again, like you said, has the flexibility to play first. So I think it's going to be a mixture. I think we're going to see guys move around a lot.
Yeah.
We know Lavolo likes to keep guys fresh and not consistently keep guys in there. We're going to see that. I don't think Josh Rojas being relegated to a backup role for opening day is the worst thing. It's just hard considering when you look at the numbers what the infield has been doing offensively. I think it's more about Rojas defensively. I think it's more about him still learning how to play, you know, how to position himself at shortstop and second base. I think that they've liked what they've seen defensively out of him more at shortstop than second.
I don't know the actual numbers, but I feel like he's played more short this spring than second anyway.
Well, because Nick had the injury, so he had the opportunity to play more
Someone
short.
Had to
play
well, that's
short.
The problem, short, though. Yeah. If you don't play a guy at a position, if you play him at a bunch of different positions, we went through this with Ketel Marte. If you split all his time between two totally different positions, then he doesn't really grow in one or the other.
We said that about Rojas's development.
Right.
That's the one.
Rojas can play four positions, but if you split his time between all four,
he's not going to get good at one.
And
he's just going to be a utility player that you plug in whenever, but he's never going to get to be at that all-star level at a position. Like right now, he's reached base safely in 16 of his last 18 games.
That's great.
And yeah, right? I mean, but when you look at the rest of the offense on the infield, everybody's doing really good. As Drupal Cabrera is on an 8-game hitting streak right now, batting nearly .500 with 3 doubles, 3 home runs, and 7 RBI in those 8 games. Christian Walker is leading the Cactus League, leading all of spring training in RBI with 14. And that doesn't even seem right because Christian Walker has not. There hasn't been these games where I've been watching Christian Walker knock in a bunch of runs. He's just been consistently getting RBI in the games that he's been appearing in. It's the infield has been doing their thing. Ketel Marte is even doing great at the plate. It's just more of what we've seen out of him in the outfield shows that he still is inexperienced as well. He's still growing in that position. And again, that's kind of the same thing with Rojas about moving Marte around. You're going to get a subpar Marte in center field, but it's probably your best option.
And
at
still
this point.
Probably an above average center fielder.
Yes. Yeah.
Subpar for Ketel means subpar, sub best second baseman in baseball.
Right. Right.
Which is still pretty good.
Right. I have the breakdown of where Rojas has played this spring.
Okay.
He has played 6 games at second base, made 5 starts. He's played 15 games at shortstop, 11 starts. He has started 1 game in left field and has played, not started, 1 game in right field.
Okay, so they clearly want to get him reps in the infield. I think playing second and playing short are somewhat more equal than splitting reps between infield and outfield.
I think it's a little easier to play
the transition
second
isn't
and,
as bad.
And short. Yeah,
yeah. Most guys who play second base in Major League Baseball, they came up as shortstops and they moved.
Yeah,
I think that's fair to say.
Ketel Marte came up as a shortstop.
Last question on this, I'll throw it to Bear. Do you expect, because I think I do, that as Drupal Cabrera will play starter, like I want to say starter time minutes, but obviously minutes doesn't work, innings. Will he play a starter's amount of innings this season just at different positions?
Yeah, I think so. He's proven that he's still a really good hitter, especially this spring. He is on fire. And of course we say this all the time, Torrey Lovello loves that flexibility. I think they're going to use it. And go back to what Derek said, about the, keeping guys fresh. We've heard that, you know, we're going from a 60 game season to a full 162 game season. And we've heard how much that's going to limit pitchers. You can make that argument for fielders and hitters, too. Like, they're going from 60 games to 162 games. They're going from this many at-bats to a lot more at-bats. So you could argue that, yeah, you're going to have to keep your hitters kind of fresh, too, because they're also having to make that transition and adding 102 games from just from July, where we only played 60. And especially if you didn't make the playoffs, like the Diamondbacks didn't make the playoffs, they only played 60 games. So I think we're going to see a lot of, like Josh Rojas get a lot of at-bats. I think Drupal Cabrera is going to play a lot. I think until Cole Calhoun comes back, Trace Thompson is going to get some at-bats in the outfield, and Tim LaCastro as well. You're going to see a lot of different guys on different days.
I want to throw this out there, and you just talked about LaCastro. I'll use that as my transition. this weekend, being the last weekend before opening day, is going to be a big weekend for fantasy baseball drafts. I know that I'm in one. I know a lot of people have already started doing fantasy drafts, and I kind of want to evaluate some of the players on the Diamondbacks and what they could mean to fantasy fantasy owners in the hobby. Derek, your hand is already up. I haven't even gotten to it yet. Go ahead.
Can we just talk about how great the bullpen has been?
No, we cannot.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, right. Go ahead. What do you like? No.
Who do I like?
You talked about Joe Manaply.
Well, Stephen Crichton, again, another guy that hasn't, or Stephon Crichton, another guy that hasn't given up any runs so far. We also have my man Anthony Swarzak, another guy with a low ERA, 1.80 in five games. And Kevin Ginkle, another guy with a low ERA, 1.50 in six games. I'm just saying there's a lot of good things in the bullpen right now, and there were a lot of question marks, especially with the loss of Tyler Clippard. You know, you bring in someone like Clippard or Joaquin Soria, for instance, who hasn't had a great spring so far. 12.27 ERA in his four games, not keeping runs off the board at all in any way, shape, or form. That's not another thing that's not great. So far, their acquisitions for the bullpen are not adding anything currently. At least the Asdrubal Cabrera acquisition is working out. And Cabrera is a guy who I think a lot of people could sleep on fantasy-wise, but I think he could be a big, you know, big offensive player this year.
So I'll tell you what I was thinking in terms of fantasy values. Obviously, Ketel Marte is the best player on this team, but I think it might actually be, he might be worth more to fantasy owners than people realize. Ketel Marte is going to be second base eligible in almost every format, I'm assuming,
yes,
because that's all he played last year.
Yes.
Ketel Marte is far and away the best fantasy option at second base, a position that's already pretty thin around the league. And even if Ketel plays every game in center field this year, you're going to have that second base eligibility to play off of.
What will happen is, in Yahoo, they'll probably already have him as second base and center
field. Slash center field.
In ESPN, they usually go off what they did the year prior, so they'll have him as a second baseman primarily. But then once he plays a certain amount of games in center field, they will make him outfield eligible. And position flexibility in fantasy and the league you and I are in, Steve, where we have limits on games that are played.
Yeah.
That's huge at each position because, right, like I have in that league, I have Cody Bellinger and I can play him at first and center and right. And it's amazing.
That's pretty great.
It's amazing.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah, well, I was someone like that who is a good hitter already who can play multiple positions is very valuable.
And the fact that at last check, Ketel Marte is getting drafted in fantasy leagues outside of the top 50. And I think we all believe at this table that Ketel Marte is a top 50 player in baseball. Now, I know that doesn't always translate to fantasy sports, but in this case, especially when you consider the position he plays and having second base eligibility, he's more than worth it.
Would that be something that you would have with like Varsho at catcher, even though he wouldn't actually play catcher?
Yes.
I had him on my list as an interesting guy, too, because he has catcher. I'm assuming he'll have catcher as a positional flexibility. And he's got speed.
I spent yesterday before
and he bunted on the shift that one time.
That one time.
We remember.
I spent yesterday before my shift at work looking at fantasy baseball stuff, and they have Dalton Varsho as catcher, left field, center field, and right field.
Wow.
So he can play if you're in a league where you separate your outfield positions instead of just having outfield,
right,
he can play all three. And then if you're in a league where it's just all outfield, you can put him wherever.
And to have a catcher that could potentially steal, I mean, could he steal 10 bases?
Sure,
this year?
He's fast.
That has a lot of value at a position where
it would help if he was in the major leagues.
Most fantasy players aren't banking on getting a lot of batting average, on base percentage, home runs, RBIs, or runs from their catcher position.
Mm-hmm.
So why not get a couple of steals?
Also, the catcher position is terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's terrible.
Really bad.
You have JT Realmuto and Salvador Perez and maybe a couple other. Travis d'Arnaud had a good year last year.
Maybe Grandal.
Gary Sanchez either hits a home run or strikes out, so you might get a home run. Like, the catcher position is awful. It's terrible.
Just don't forget that Varsho got sent down this week, so we don't know when he'll be back.
Yes.
That's true, but I think that Varsho will be back.
He will be.
Right now, the highest ranked fantasy player for the Arizona Diamondbacks is Zach Gallen.
Well, sure.
Is he still?
he drops for me. I wouldn't take him inside the top 25 pitchers.
It depends on what kind of league you're into. Like, let's say you're starting a keeper league this year, and you're starting a keeper league, and if you can draft and stash him and keep him late, do it. Do it. Because he's a good pitcher. He's going to be a good pitcher for a long time.
I'd probably have him in my top 15 pitchers, starting pitchers normally, but with the injury, I'm not taking him in the top 25 because you just don't know when he's going to be back, and he could miss a good chunk of starts. The last one I'll throw out there, well, I got two more. Tim LeCastro, we've talked about a lot. Tim LeCastro is, without a doubt, the fastest player in Major League Baseball.
Right.
And with an improved role this year, even if Cole Calhoun comes back and is healthy and Ketel Marte plays every day in center field, we still believe Tim LeCastro is the fourth outfielder in this outfield, right?
Well, that depends. How many fantasy points do hit by pitch get you?
I don't care how he gets on base.
I'm just curious.
He's going to get on base. He gets on base a lot.
He gets on base, right. Well, that's one thing I love about him.
He could be a steal source.
It's the fact that he has that. That's that undeniable quality that LeCastro has. He will get on base.
Yeah.
And in talking to him about getting hit by pitches, he takes it very seriously. Like, he doesn't care that he gets hit by a pitch. His thought is getting on base is the most important thing, and he doesn't care how he does it.
Do I care how he gets on base?
No.
You do not, is the line from Moneyball.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to come through on that.
No, you do not.
Thank you, Jonah Hill. The last one I'll throw out.
Do I speak? When I point to you, you speak.
Derek mentioned earlier that Joaquin Soria has not been all that good in spring training. I think most of us assume he's going to be the closer for this Arizona Diamondbacks team. In leagues where you are strictly banking on saves, I still think Soria is probably the better get, probably more of a sure thing for saves. But if you're in a league that does saves and holds, or if you're looking for a guy who might overtake that closer role for the Diamondbacks organization, I think Stephan Crichton has some real good value.
He's great.
He had a great year last year. Again, small sample size. It was like 20-ish innings. But Stephan Crichton could be a guy that guys want to go out and get.
One of my favorite guys to talk to, just because he shoots from the hip and gives very honest answers. He was asked about the closer role, and he didn't deny it. Like, he didn't deny that you wouldn't want to be that, you know? And I think that's one thing, the mantras that the Diamondbacks kind of have with their players sometimes carry over to their interviews, where they're kind of repeating or at least going with how the team feels about it. And I feel like the mantra, especially when asked about the closer thing or whatever, is, you know, we're not really focused on there even being a specific closer. That seems to be the attitude. Like, they're going to almost have situational closers based on the lineups and things that they're looking at, which kind of almost makes more sense if you have a solid bullpen and you have multiple options to go to rather than going to one guy. The typical thing is that you have one reliever that's better than the rest that you can count on for a shutdown inning, something the Diamondbacks have not had for a very long time as far as a closer role goes. I think that might even be the reason why they're leaning towards this kind of like closer by committee kind of thing. It makes it difficult for fantasy owners to kind of pin down one guy. I agree with you, though. Crichton has just showed something different. He showed, I think he's shown a lot of reliability over the last two seasons where you can't say that about many guys. Like, even the guys that are having a good spring weren't guys that were having a good year last year, aside from maybe Kevin Ginkle. And I'm not sure what his ERA was last season, but I'm sure it wasn't great. Kevin Ginkle just had times where he really was impressive in 2020. Yeah, like 6.75 ERA in 2020. So
yeesh.
Not great, you know, but towards the end of the season, he really started to put it together. And I think that kind of carries over to what he's been doing this spring.
Even if Crichton's not the closer officially, I think you could still see 5 to 10 saves
without
this season from Stephan Crichton.
Yep.
So that's good enough for me.
I think it's going to be a real thing. I think he really is going to call upon multiple guys to come into situations, and it's going to be based on his feeling on who's, you know, ready to go against that lineup, probably looking at stats and numbers more than anything. But I do believe that there'll probably be multiple people seeing closing opportunities.
Good luck to everyone this weekend on your fantasy baseball drafts. I know I'm looking forward to it. I know you guys are looking forward to it as well.
I am not.
Well, whatever. We don't really care what you think at this point.
Fantasy baseball is a nightmare.
We heard you flip your opinion earlier in less than 5 seconds. So,
hey, whatever.
I take it with a grain of salt.
If you pay me $5, I'll tell you how great I think fantasy football is, or baseball is. Whatever.
We'll talk to you next week as we approach opening day. We are just 7 days away, which is a week.
Let's go.
1 week away from opening
baseball.
I'm Steve Zinsmeister. That's Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher with us as well. It's the Ain't No Fang podcast here at ArizonaSports.com and on the Arizona Sports app.
I love the DH.